Amen. Amen. He's our all in all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you tonight. Just thankful to be back once again. And like I said before, it's nice y'all came back. Amen. For our night service. And enjoyed a little bit of rainfall before we came on over. Got to drive through some flooded streets and enjoy some hail on the out in the yard, amen. So we just are thankful for those things, amen. Thankful for God providing what we need, and you know we don't realize how you know it's so easy for us in our modern society where we can just go to a tap and turn on water and have it, but. That water comes from somewhere, and so we're thankful to get it. Amen. We're thankful to receive the life-giving water from heaven. Amen. And tonight we are experiencing some difficulties with the stream, so I don't even know if the streamers will be able to hear me say this, but we will. We are recording the services, so. Even if we don't, it might not be available on the archive right away, and the stream might be iffy tonight. We at least have a recording that we can upload later and have it there in the archives. So, anyway, we thank the Lord for that, and amen. Pray that you would bless those that are trying to stream in tonight, and amen. We saw lots of streams on the streets tonight, but. It's a different kind of stream, amen? Amen. Well, if you have your Bible with you tonight, I'd like to go back into Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll read again here some of the verses that we read this morning. And just kind of continue this same thought, amen? You know, it's just nice sometimes in the Word, just to, you know, well, Brother Branham expressed it like this. He says, you know, the Word of God is like a mine. It's like a gold mine, you know, a precious metal mine full of gems and precious things to us, he says. And sometimes you just want to get into the Word and pull them out and shine them up a little bit. You're not finding new ones. You're not discovering new things, but you're just enjoying what you have. Amen. And, you know, what use is it if you don't pull it out and use it and enjoy it? Amen. You know, I've always marveled at, you know, people that would collect things, collect precious coins or collect things like that and just store them away. I couldn't do that. I'd be tempted to get them out all the time. I want to be looking at them, you know. Stamp collection or something. You're not supposed to handle those things because it devalues them the more you handle them, right? I remember my grandfather had like silver coins and he had to pull out the white glove, right? And be very careful so you didn't get any oil on it. And okay, and then put them away because otherwise they lose value, right? Well, brother, sister, these precious promises, they don't lose value. Amen. We pull them out and man, we just want to shine them up and amen. The more you shine them and look at them, you begin to see a reflection in them, and you know what God's done for you, and you're encouraged. Amen. You remember, you're reminded of the things that He's told you and promised you, and it just encourages you. And so we just want to do that tonight. All right. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That was how we used to walk. That was our life. That was all we had. That was, and that is all most of the people here on earth that we rub shoulders with. That is how they walk. That is their life. Amen. Amen. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Just like everybody else, we were bound under the law of sin and death, just like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to just be with us and bless the word. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again to the opportunity, Lord, to come tonight. And Lord, just to be in service, Lord, with our brothers and sisters, Lord, and just to, Father, just bring our lick of fire, Lord, and just be a part of the service here tonight. And we just pray that you would bless your word, Lord, as it goes forth. Bless the Lord, all of, as we said before, all of these little nuggets, Lord, that you put in your word for us. Lord, there are promises. They belong to us because you gave them to us. I pray, Lord, that you would bring revelation tonight. Lord, no doubt we can hear things over and over and we begin to get desensitized to it. But Lord, then your spirit comes and it anoints it and it makes it real in a new and living way for us. And Lord, I pray that you would do that tonight. Won't you grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. You know, that's true. I was just thinking, I was meditating on the word this week about that. And, you know, that's why God has so many different gifts, ministering gifts in the body, because Brother Baker preaches and he teaches us out of the word and he speaks on wide-ranging topics. Everything in the word belongs to us, so we might as well take it from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. We want it all. Amen. And our pastor, thank God, is he preaches it all. Amen. And but what happens as humans is, and this doesn't just happen in church. This is in any place. It'll happen in work or school or whatever. As you get used to hearing a certain thing said a certain way, right? And then it loses its impact on you because in your mind you kind of skip over it, right? Okay, I've heard that, got that, all right? And you just kind of skip over it and you don't really catch the revelation behind it because you've heard it so many times or you've heard it that way. And then what will happen is an evangelist will come into town and say he's saying the exact same thing, but he's saying it just in his own way, the way that God made him. And it's just enough different for you to catch it, right? Something grabs a hold and, oh, yes, that's, I see it, right? Well, it was being said all along, but it was said in a different way because you were skipping over it, right? You weren't letting the Holy Spirit in, and it's not intentional. It's just something that the way our minds work. God made us. God knows our weakness. Amen. And that's why he has a fivefold ministry. And that's why every single one of his ministering gifts is different. Amen. They're all different. And it's for that reason, because one would say something just a little bit different in their way. They have their own way of expressing it. The exact same word. Amen. The exact same promise, the exact same truth, but they express it and then you can catch a hold of it. And, you know, but brother, sister, we can recognize that. And in when our pastor says something a certain way and we just our mind starts to skip over it, we can catch that. And we can stop that. Amen. We can, by the Holy Spirit, say, wait a minute, Lord, what are you saying to me right now? Yeah, amen. And the Holy Spirit can overcome that if we're mindful of it. Just a little something that I was meditating on this week. So that was not in our subject here tonight. Just like the brothers say, that was free. It's all free. Amen. We see that... you know, this morning we looked and we saw how in Ephesians chapter 2 where he says, you hath he quickened, right? And we see that, we know that quickened means to be made alive. And so he has made you alive. And he's speaking to you. Amen? He's not speaking to somebody else out there in the world, unless they're one of his children too, but he's speaking to you. And you need to know and say, God is speaking to me. Amen? And he's speaking to you, and he's reiterating what he's done for you. You has quickened. You've been made alive. You've been brought out of this world. Look at the world that you, the life that you lived before, and what he has done for you. The Holy Spirit of God overshadowed you and brought you into new life. And now you're no longer bound the way that you were before. Now you're no longer part of the law of sin and death. Now you're under the law of love. Amen. Amen. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. A distinct and new creature from the old. Amen. New life in the soul. There is eternal life. Praise the Lord. Amen. We once lived completely in the realm of the flesh and in the mind. And that was all that we had and all that we focused on. And we lived according to our flesh wants to do this and our mind thinks we should do that. And this is what's best. The Bible says in the book of Judges that as they began to get away from God, Israel began to get away from God. They did whatever was right in their own sight. Right? They were just living according to their flesh and their mind, and whatever seemed good, that was the way they went. Not living according to God's word. Amen? And so we were living that way, and we were in bondage. We were enslaved to that. Satan tries to convince you that that's not slavery, that is really living. But brother, sister, our topic tonight is real life. Amen. Amen. Real life. It's freedom in the Spirit. It's life through the Spirit. A life that we once lived is just a shadow of life. Now that we have been quickened, we are living in real life, partially. Amen? In our soul. This life that we see around us is just the shadow of a life, and it will end someday. But that life that we've received in our soul is the true and living, the real life. Amen? We saw this morning that we didn't earn it. He came and sought you out for it, to give it to you. He searched and he struggled until he could get a hold of you and bring you to that life. Just like a sheep that had gone astray, a lost sheep. We surrendered to him and we said, Lord, give me your life. I receive it. I accept it. Amen. And he set us on a path of righteousness. He set us on a different path than what the world is walking in. We change directions completely. Amen. Where people of the world go one way, we go the opposite. Amen. Well, we're not living like they do. We don't have the same direction. Amen. We forfeit the things of the old life willingly. Those are temporary things. We give up those things. We lay them down. We lay them aside because we want the real life. Amen. Amen? Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now, you know, I began to think about that. Is that even possible? A man to gain the whole world. Now, it's going to happen in the Antichrist, right? But Jesus said, just think, if a man could gain the whole world, in other words, anything that he wanted, anything, I mean, just name it and you've got it. Want a yacht? Sure. Have two. Have 10. Have 20. Want an island? You don't need an island because you can have the entire continent, the world. They're all at your beck and call. King of the world. You could have all of it. Well, there were men that lived on the earth in Bible times that typified that. You had a Pharaoh in Egypt who ruled over. You had Caesars. You had Alexander the Great. You had these great rulers, great conquerors. Amen. Alexander sat down and cried because there was nothing left to be conquered. Right? If you could have the whole world. I mean, that's extreme, right? That's a lot. But yet you would still be living in death. What does it profit a man for just a fleeting amount of time? Have anything you want. Amen? That's what, you know, these great rich men in our times, right? These mega millionaires or whatever, they can have anything they want. And yet, what do they got? Nothing. They have nothing. You say, well, what do you mean they have nothing? They're billionaires. They have nothing. Without Christ, what they have is nothing. Oh, hallelujah. That in verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Well, you've got something. Amen. The riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. That soul is worth 10,000 worlds. That's a whole lot more than this one world. Amen. You see, that's what Satan was offering Jesus. Look, what do you want? I'll make you famous. Right? You want money? I'll give you money. You want control of the greatest armies? Sure. I'll make you king of this and lord of that and, you know, ruler over this. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen? I don't want your old corrupted, stinking, fallen world. Right. Amen? Amen. That's what he's trying to tempt people with today. But everything that he has is contaminated. It's dying. It's rotting. It's rotting from the inside. Brother, sister, it's nothing compared to your calling tonight. What you've been called to. Amen. What position God has given to you. Why did Satan want to offer all that to him? Because he wanted to trade something. You think he knew that what he has was not worth, not all it's cracked up to be? I'll trade this if you'll bow down and worship me. He realized something. The position that he had, it was corruptible and it's coming to an end. His kingdom, sure, he's perfecting it in this age. It's Satan's Eden. He's having his way, but it's all going to come crashing down. It's going to come to an end. It will not last. It will not overcome. Amen. It won't stand, and he will be utterly and completely defeated. This contaminated, stinking world. Amen. That new life that's come into you and me doesn't desire the things of this contaminated world. Because they're opposites. Amen. The things of this earth are fleeting and temporal and just there to satisfy the senses of the flesh. But that new life doesn't feed on those things. Amen. The new life feeds on the Word of God. It feeds on the anointing of the Spirit. It feeds on the things that have life and are eternal. Amen. It's living in heavenly realms. It would be like an eagle scratching around in the chicken yard. Right? We've heard that example many times. But like I was saying before, don't just dismiss it. Catch it. Amen. The people in this world are living in a chicken yard. A chicken yard is stinky and smelly, and there's bugs that they're eating. Amen. And they scratch it out and chickens peck at each other and they have feathers all over the place and it's gross and yucky and it stinks. And it's good fertilizer. It's true. Amen. But that eagle, he lives in a heavenly realm. He's free. He's not bound by the walls of the chicken coop. The chickens, you know, excuse the expression, they're sitting ducks. Right? If the foxes come for the chickens, they have no place to go. They're stuck inside the four walls. If Satan comes for one of his children, what do they have to fight with? What can they do? There's nothing. If sickness comes their way, what have they got to combat that? They try with medicine and they do the best that they can, living according to this life. But they're chickens in a chicken coop that is surrounded by walls of death. And they're trapped. And the fox just sits there and says, I'll take that fat one right there. And I'll take that one. Right? But an eagle's not that way. The eagle isn't trapped by the confines of this natural life. When the fox comes for the eagle says, see you later, buddy. Amen? I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got an answer to your attack. Amen? The chickens have no answer. I feel sorry for them. Amen? But an eagle, he doesn't have to listen to it. He doesn't have to stand for it. Amen? He can just get up, get his wings going and get up and fly up on the Holy Ghost. Amen? He can fly above it all. He can fly past the walls. Amen? We're using sickness as an example. So you hit the wall of what medicine can do. The eagle's not worried about that. He just flies over. He just keeps going. Amen. Amen. He leaves behind the limitations of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and flies on to the tree of life. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, sister, what a glorious salvation. What a glorious thing that we're caught up into. Amen. Amen. Oh, we should just be so happy tonight. We should be praising God for what he's done for us. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, what do you realize what you've been caught up into tonight? Amen. Why should we worry? Why should we be afraid? Yes. Amen. We are eagles. We don't worry about things that happen down on the ground. We fly above it all. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. This contaminated life doesn't worry us. Let it get as stinky as it wants in the old chicken coop. Amen. We're living in heavenly realms. That's not our place anyway. Amen. David said in the Psalms, he said, thy loving kindness, O Lord, is better than life. Amen. Amen. It's better than this life. It means more to us than anything in this life. Why? Because everything in this life will end. It's temporary. But his loving kindness isn't temporary. His grace and mercy and love to us isn't temporary. It doesn't have an end. His life eternal that he's given us, it doesn't have an end. The victory that he's given us, it doesn't have an end. Hallelujah. Thy loving kindness, Lord, it's better than life. Look at what Brother Branham says in the message, thy loving kindness. He says, when I heard David say, thy loving kindness is better than life, then thinking that nothing could be better than life, there must be another definition or another, there must be two different kinds of life. And that's what we're speaking tonight is about the real life. Amen. Amen. He says, there must be two different kinds of life, and there is two kinds of life. There's life that leads to destruction, and there's life that leads to everlasting. Amen. And this life that people thinks is life, the devil has perverted the real, genuine life and making you think that you're really living when you're not. He's got an entire world fooled into thinking that they're living. He tries to make you think that you have plenty of good clothes on, to own a nice automobile, to have the taxes paid up on your place, that you're living the American dream. Right? That's what they call it. He says, but you're not. That's where America is deceived today. Some people think because they're having life, they're out riding and reveling around. That's not life. That's death. Right. Now, there's nothing wrong with having good clothes or a nice automobile or having your taxes paid. Right. Please pay your taxes. Yes. Amen. There's nothing. That's fine. Render under Caesar, right? What is Caesar's? There's nothing wrong with that, but just realize that it all is just dung compared. Amen. Right? Just keep it in its right place. Right perspective. If you've got it, great. If you don't, great. Because you have him. Amen. Amen. Two different kinds of life. Now, we're not just talking about two different kinds of ways of living, right? I want to make sure that we catch that. It's not just a way of living or a way of life. We're not just talking about a series of choices or preferences. What we're talking about is an actual life. Amen? Just as if you compared the life that's in a cat versus the life that's in a dog, right? They're different lives, amen? And they like different things. They act different, right? You try and do something to a cat that you would do to your dog, and that cat ain't going to like it, right? They're kind of independent, and they're kind of aloof, and right? They don't really need you. As long as you feed them, they don't really care if you're around or whatever. Some of them are that way. But you know what I mean? They're just different than a dog, right? A dog, man, it's like you're the best thing ever. And you're always the best thing ever. And it doesn't matter if you've had a bad day or whatever, you're the best thing ever. And that's why dogs are awesome. But I digress. But they're different kind of lives. Right? There's a different life in there that makes them that way. It's not like they're both just an animal and they decide to live one way or another. Brother, sister, it's hard for us to bring that down because we're humans. Right? But we have different lives in us than the world. You're a person, you look just like them, but you're not. There's a different life force in there. When you're born again, you're a different creature. Amen. Amen? And what we have is the real life. The other is just a shadow of it. You see, our bodily senses declare the shadow life more than the real life. Amen? And that's why we have to continually keep our flesh under us, and we have to hear the word, and we have to be sensitive to the Spirit, and it takes faith, right? Because your eyes only detect the shadow realm. Your touch only detects the shadow realm. Your hearing detects the shadow realm, but faith tells you there's something else. There's a revelation that can't be taken from you. That there is a real life. There is another life. Amen? Amen. And that what your senses are telling you is real is just temporary. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. Amen? Amen? Do you find yourself groaning? Amen. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If you're not groaning for that, then it's probably because you're too caught up in the shadow realm.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You're too enamored with the temporary and the corruptible. And you're not recognizing it for what it is. And when you recognize it and you hear God's word of what is real life, then that causes you to groan and to desire, Lord, I know there's something more. I know that, you know, this is not all there is. God, your word speaks of greater, and I wasn't made for this Satan's Eden, and I wasn't made for this. I'm not a chicken. Amen. And you begin to groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven. In other words, to receive that new body. Amen. That is lined up with God's word. If so be that we be being clothed, we shall not be found naked or without a body. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, right? It's not that we want to die and have our spirit just go nowhere, but to be clothed upon, to have that new body. That's what we want. Yes. We just want a body that works.
Yes.
That's not death. That's not dying and corrupting. That's not fighting us, fighting against God's word. Amen? That's not challenging us all the time. That's what we are groaning for.
Amen.
To be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life.
Right.
Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He's given you the Holy Ghost as an earnest and a down payment that you're going to receive the fullness.
Yes.
Therefore, we are always confident. Confident, why? Because he's promised. He's given us the token. Amen? We are confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we are confident because we know we are in God's hands. He has given us the Holy Spirit token so that we don't worry about whenever this body, whenever it's time to lay it down. We know that we've got another one waiting, so we're confident. We don't worry about it, but we also groan and we travail and we strive and we have our character developed. We go through trials in this body and we're building, God is building us from glory to glory.
Amen.
Amen. This earthly tabernacle is limited and will come to an end.
Amen.
But there's going to be a resurrection, and it will. Those that go by the way of the grave will be raised up, and they'll be changed. Some that won't go by the way of the grave will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. And we will go to a resurrection and a rapture.
Amen.
So, brother, sister, we know that this death is just a transportation to that new body. Amen. A new body that's waiting for you where mortality is swallowed up by life. The real life. Amen. It shows which life is the real life. This old life, it won't last, but it will be swallowed up in victory. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Fear of death has lost out. Amen. It doesn't have a hold on you. It doesn't have a hold on me. There are people that are in fear for their lives, in fearing death, in fearing what happens. But brother, sister, God has washed that away for the child of God. There is no fear. Amen. It's just a way for us to get to our new body. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, that's so comforting. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's continue reading on here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So further down, he says, wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. So Paul says something interesting here where he says that we know no man after the flesh. Jesus was in the flesh, and that was how they knew him, right? When he was walking around in Galilee, Jesus of Galilee, amen, the man, he called his disciples, as I mentioned this morning, and they walked with him, and they knew him that way, right? They touched him, and they ate with him, and they fellowshipped with him as a man in the flesh. Is that right? And that was the only way you could know Jesus. If you were 100 miles away, you couldn't know him. Amen? But you had to be there and know him in the flesh. But he says, but we don't know him that way anymore. Why? Because he's not in the flesh. He's come back in the Holy Spirit. Amen? No longer do we have to physically touch Jesus of Nazareth. Now we contact his Holy Spirit, and we know him through the Spirit. Amen. Amen. His Holy Spirit has come down into the church, and he said it's him walking in the midst of his church. Christ in the church. Amen. Amen. No more, no less Christ. Brother Branham said he's the same in every way today as he was back then, in every attribute, in every aspect, except for his corporeal body, his mortal body, the flesh. Amen? Right? That flesh. Amen? So we've never physically seen him. Right? But yet, brother, sister, he's here. He's here right now. Amen? How many can witness? He's here right now. Amen? He's here in our midst right now in this service. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he's in the house tonight? Do you believe that he's here? Do you believe that he's the same in every way? He's the same one that drove the legions of demons with his finger. He cast them out. He's here tonight. He's the same one. Amen. He's the same one that called and death had to give up those that were in the grave. That same one is here tonight. The one that walked on water, the one that fed the multitudes with just a few loaves and fishes he broke and created. And that one is here tonight. He's here to provide your needs. He's here to heal your bodies. He's here to deliver you from demonic oppression. He's here to break the chains of the enemy. The Bible says that he went about destroying and tearing down the works of the devil. And he's the same here tonight. We know him after the Spirit. That's how we know him. We don't know him after the flesh. We know him after the Spirit. Oh, brother, sister, let him be God tonight. Let him be God right now here tonight. He's bigger than cancer tonight. Amen. He's bigger than diabetes or any disease, any high blood pressure. He's bigger than any doctor report. And he's in the house tonight. Amen. You believe it. Amen. Do you believe that Brother Branham said that if he could just get people to believe that Jesus Christ is right here now, he said, if I could just get you to believe this, that he's here right now and he's here to heal you. He said everyone in the building would walk out of this place healed. Now, brother, sister, what has changed? What's changed? He's the same. Amen. He hasn't left you. He hasn't abandoned his church. Amen. He hasn't deserted us. He's still with us. He promised that he would see us through to the end, that he would be with us, even in us. But we know him after the Spirit. We can't touch his flesh, but we know him. Amen. By faith tonight, you can touch him.
Yes.
The woman with the blood issue had to physically reach out and touch him. But tonight, you can touch him.
Amen.
Amen. We know him, and he's made himself real to us, and he's personal, and we know him in an intimate way. We know him better than his disciples knew him. You say, really? How's that? Yes, we know far more about his character. We've experienced him far more than they did just walking with him in the flesh. Think about it. Amen? He said, it's better for you that I go. The ones that were there that knew him after the flesh, he said, it's better for you to know me after the Spirit. Amen. Now, you believe that? Amen? Now, Paul said it wasn't just that we know Christ after the flesh, but he said that we know no man after the flesh. That means we have to know one another after the Spirit. Yes, sir. Amen. We must know our brothers and sisters, not after the flesh. Not just after the flesh. I'll put it that way. Right? But after the Spirit. Amen. As we become mature in Christ, part of our maturing process, part of our growing in grace, brother, sister, is being able to discern between the soul and the spirit and the flesh. Amen. It's beginning to recognize that was my flesh, right? All right, flesh, you know, get back in your place. That wasn't the real me, and I'm not going to let the devil condemn me because that was just my flesh acting up, and I'm putting him in his place. If I have to say I'm sorry for him, I will. If I have to repent, I will, but there's no sin in my soul. Amen. And as you mature, you begin to move and walk in that. Is that right? And then as you mature further, you begin to walk in that for your brother or sister. And then you realize, oh, that was just their flesh. Amen? Amen? That wasn't my brother. That wasn't my real brother. I know him. I know him after the Spirit. I know her. Amen? That was their flesh. Oh, brother, sister, then you begin to get into brotherly kindness. Moving into that capstone of love. Amen? Then we begin to see who not only we are, but our brothers and sisters are in that soul realm. Amen. It gives us discernment, and we begin to see when the enemy is moving. We begin to understand his tactics, and we begin to, we can unveil him. We can expose him and say, oh, I know that that's not my brother. I know where that came from. Amen. That's a spirit that's working on my brother or my sister. And I can go to battle against that. Not against them. I love them. But I know that there's a spirit at work. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we're moving. Then we're getting somewhere. Amen. Knowing no one after the flesh. Oh, what a battle. Amen. But brother, sister, that's how we must fight this battle. Our battle is not one of flesh and blood. Right? But it is of spirits and principalities and powers. And we try and fight it in the flesh. And that's the problem. Amen. Amen. So we give more grace. We give more understanding to someone else's flesh. Amen. Amen. Knowing it's our brother and our sister, knowing that their flesh is just as frail and you know, just as much of a problem to them as yours is to you. Amen. Amen. Let me just read this statement from Abraham's seed. He says, now, we can see them going down. And the first thing, some arguments would come. And now, Abraham, acting as a Christian would do, showed that God's faith and spirit was in him, and he gave Lot his own choice. So he's talking about when the herdsmen from Lot and the herdsmen from Abraham began to argue. And they were all family, right? This wasn't some stranger coming in. This was family feuding, right? They were arguing. butting heads. He says that's the way a Christian spirit does. It gave Lot his own choice. It always goes the extra mile or gives the coat. What's he referring to? He's referring to that scripture where Jesus says, if a man asks you, what is it? If he asks you for your shirt, give him your coat also, I think is how it goes, right? He said he gives him the coat. He goes the extra mile, right? He sacrifices. He says, now, you look up. Here's the land. We will not argue. We're brothers. He says, if you go east, I'll go west. If you go south, I'll go north. But we won't argue. Let's be brothers, for we are kindred. And he said, I was talking to a young man a while ago, and we was talking about God. And I said, you see the Spirit of God in a man. You see the Spirit of God in a man. He meets someone, and it's like through a shady glass. Amen? The Bible says that we see through a glass darkly. A glass that's dimmed. Amen? It's shady. You can make out what's going on, but it's not real bright. It's not real obvious, right? It's just kind of shady. You can make out the outlines and you can see movement and things, but it's not clear. He says it's like looking through a shady glass, but he knows that something in there is his brother. Amen. Right? It's hidden by the shady glass of flesh. And you can see that somewhere in there, there's the Spirit of God, and that's his brother down in there. And that's what you focus on. He says, what a love. Amen. He said, someday when that veil is taken away, then we will know as we're known. Amen. But you see, right now, there's that veil of flesh. Amen. And you have to look through that thing to see your brother or your sister, the real brother, the real sister. Amen? Bible says that we see through a glass darkly, but by faith it declares it. It's by faith that we are known. It's through the Spirit that we know one another. Amen? But, oh, brother, sister, what a day when that veil is removed. Amen? And then it will all be unveiled and we'll see perfectly. Amen? Because we'll have eyes to see. Amen. We won't be confined in this shadow world any longer. But our senses, instead of declaring the shadow life, our senses will begin to declare the real life. Amen. Amen. With a new body, every one of your senses, and I don't know, maybe we'll have, I don't know if they'll be more attuned. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I just know that God will make it work. Amen? But they will be perfectly aligned with the Word of God. They won't hinder and they won't only declare a shadow realm, but they'll declare the real. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's glorious. Amen? Amen. This is from the message Influence. He says, I don't want to live in this old pest house that I've been living in. It catches every disease that floats through. It's the truth, right? I want one that's not made with hands, fashioned after God. That's not a hybrid plant like this is. I want one that's made by the hands of God, that diseases and sickness and death goes from it. Whenever he summons me up, I'm ready by the grace of God, believing that when this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting that we move into that. Amen. We can't die from it no more. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He says, why would you want to live in this? Not me. We're going out of it, and I'm glad of it. This old human germ trap that we're living in, death trap and what more, the groans and pains of it, and old age, and my, who would want to stay in a body like that? I'm glad there's one coming. We got a body that's being prepared for us in glory. And as soon as the life leaves this old hole here, that eternal Spirit of God that lives within it takes a journey into that tabernacle yonder, and there it lives eternally. Amen. Why would we want something like this? My, Oh, yes, sir, I'm so glad there is a God who's made all these things plain. Yes. Oh, I'm thankful for that too, ain't you, brother, sister? Oh, hallelujah. We look here and we see there's just a shadow anyhow. We are a shadow. I look here on the platform and see men that move. And I look out on the streets and see men and women that moves. They got life, but yet it cannot be real life because there's death in it. Amen. Let's just, before we go on, let's talk about the shadow for a moment. Amen. A shadow. Now, in the Old Testament, many things in the Old Testament we say are shadows, speaking of the new. Right? There's men that lived out their lives in the Old Testament, and they're types. We call them types and shadows of Christ. Right? And we've heard many times a shadow, right? If you see a shadow, it has a form like the real, like if there's my shadow on the stage, right? It has the outline of my body, but it's not exactly it, right? It shows and declares that it's there, but it doesn't have depth to it. It doesn't have color, right? It doesn't have life in it, right? It's just a kind of a poor representation of it. Right, it's in black and white, you know. We're not in Kodachrome. It's kind of fuzzy. It's not really well defined. That's shadow. So that's what he's talking about. Is this life? He says, look. He says we are a shadow in this life. He says, I look here on the platform and I see with my eyes. I see men and I see women. I see them moving. They got life, yet it cannot be a real life because it's death in it. David said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He says, now, it takes so much light to make a shadow. There has to be so much light. If it's altogether darkness, it cannot make a shadow. So there is a light. Amen. He says, but it has to be so much light in the dark to make a shadow, but it depends on which one of those sides that you're leaning to. So, in other words, that we're thankful for the shadow, right? We're thankful for the life and the shadow until the real comes. Because once the real comes, I don't need that anymore. Amen? Amen? The real is here. Amen. Real life. Brother, sister, we've been promised so much better than this trash heap. Amen. We enjoy the things of this life. We enjoy the world that God has created for us. We enjoy all those things. But brother, sister, it's not to be compared with the joy that's set before us. Amen. The best that this life can offer is a dung heap compared to what is coming. What is the real life? Amen? This is just dim. It's dark. It's a shadow. Every good thing that you can imagine in this life, it's somehow faulty and marred and it's compromised. Amen? It's corrupted somehow. Amen. The best thing that we have, the best day that you can imagine, it's got flaws. Amen. And you know, it only lasts for a little time and it's fleeting and, you know, and you get tired and you get weary and you can't enjoy it. And your flesh is, you know, your flesh is your flesh. Death is always lurking. Disease is always right around the corner. Sickness, amen? It's all around us. But there is a day coming when this old world will be burned off. Amen? Amen. It's going to be renovated. The germs are going to be cleansed from it. They're going to be burned off. Every germ, virus, mosquito, whatever. Amen? Amen. We're going to have a renovated home. I'm so thankful for that. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. This home, it's going to be renovated and it's going to be worthy of the bride body that's going to inhabit it. It's going to be worthy of those children of God that are walking around in glorified bodies, that travel as a thought. Amen. That will be able to speak to the weather and just control it like now we would control a light switch. Right? You can go over and you can set your thermostat, amen, and control your climate. Amen. That's what we'll do in our new home, our earthly home. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll have such experience. We'll have such depth of color and life. Oh, brother, sister, won't it be wonderful? Amen. Aren't you looking forward to it? Amen. Amen. I suppose there'll be things now that we can't even see. Amen. There are spectrums of light that we can't even experience now, but things that we will be able to see and things that will be vivid to us. Won't it be a time? Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let me read this to you from the Laodicean Church Age. He says, "He is the true witness." Now, this word, true, is the same word we saw back there in Revelation 3:7. You recall that it does not mean true as in contrast with false. It has a richer, deeper meaning by far. Amen. It expresses perfect realization in contrast to partial realization. Now we're talking about real life, true life, the partial versus the real. Amen. And he's talking about true versus you're talking about the true witness. Amen. It has a richer, deeper meaning, expresses perfect realization, perfect revelation. Amen. In contrast to partial realization, seeing darkly. He says, "Now, back in the Philadelphian age, the coming of the Lord was drawing nigh. What great love that age manifested for him." It reminds us of those beautiful words of 1 Peter 1, 8, verse 8. "Whom having not seen, who having not seen you love, in whom though you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with unspeakable and full of glory." So he's speaking about those that didn't see Jesus in the flesh, but know him after the Spirit. Right? He says, "With them we rejoice also. We haven't seen him, but we have felt him." We know him now as much as our limiting senses can let us, but one day it will be face to face. That is for this age. He is coming at the end of this age. Partial realization will be made perfect realization, completed realization. Hallelujah. We have been looking through a glass darkly, but soon it will be face to face. We have been going from glory to glory, but soon it will be right in the glory. Amen. And in his glory we'll shine. We shall be like him, wondrously like him. Jesus, our Savior, divine. Isn't that wonderful? We are complete in him. That is true. He would not lie to us about that. But one day we will be changed in the atoms. We will put on immortality. We will be all swallowed up in life. Then we will realize realization. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some good nuggets in there, brother, sister. Amen. There's some good promises for us. Amen. 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 Perfect understanding. Right in his glory will shine. Amen. When Brother Branham went to the other side and he was caught up and he went to the other side and he began to speak to those that had gone before. Remember, they knew things that he didn't know. They were telling him things. Right? Well, how do you think they knew that? They didn't, when they got over to the side, they didn't have an orientation. Right? We're going to have a little class. This is what's happening. Okay, you're all here now. Thank you for coming. And they're having the orientation now that you've crossed over. Right? It sounds funny, right? But I guarantee you that's not what they did. Amen? They were seeing perfectly. They weren't looking through shadows any longer. They had perfect realization, yet they hadn't even gone. They knew there was something to come. They hadn't even gone to pick up their bodies yet. But somehow they knew they were tapped in. Yeah. They were connected into that revelation. Amen. They were experiencing that new life, yet even not in its fullness yet. They knew they had to come back and pick up bodies. But brother, sister, that's real. That's reality.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Graham said, we'll be, I like how he put it, right? We'll be changed in the atoms.
Yep.
Hallelujah. I want my atoms rearranged. Amen. To be changed like that.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Just a couple more statements. Is that all right? We'll let you out a little early tonight. Satan's Eden. He says, may not one who sat here tonight and heard the message, may not one of them be lost. From the least child to the oldest person, may their holy desire be only for God and His Word. We know not what hour He may appear or what hour He may summons us to answer up yonder at the judgment. It just could come at any time, brother, sister. We don't know what hour He may, as it was, take our card from the rack and say, it's homecoming time. You've got to go. God, help us to keep pure. Grant it, Lord. May we live to the coming of the Lord if it's possible, but may we do everything that's in our power with love and understanding. Understanding that God is searching the world today and finding every lost sheep.
Amen.
Amen. Notice he said not just searching, but finding. And brother, sister, he said that's what we're waiting for, is the last lost sheep to be found. He says, may we talk to them with seasoned prayer of love and with the word of God, that we might find that last one so we can go home and get out of this old Eden of Satan here, O Lord. All that's built on lust and beautiful women, as so-called in the world, with their advertisements on there. We advertise and want boys to come with jam on their faces and pretty girls with shorts on, right in our televisions and our radios and televisions, and all kinds of filth and gum and Hollywood. I don't know what gum is. All kinds of sexy, dirty, filthy dresses for women. And man being perverted and taking women's apparel and cutting their hair like women and women like men. Oh God, what a horrible hour we're living in. And that's right. And it's worse today. And it's being perfected. Satan is perfecting his Eden. Amen. But it's all going to end. He says, oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, cleanse us by the blood and take all the filth and guile away from us. And let us live. Amen. That all there, that's not living. That's not life. But let us live, Lord. Let us live under the blood constantly before you. It's our heart's desire and our sincere
Amen.
Plea.
Amen.
And then Israel and the church, he says, the Bible predicts that the last church age is the Laodicean church age, which is lukewarm. And that's just as far as the church has got today. That's right. They got down to where maybe they can clap their hands a little bit, make a little bit of noise, jump up, kick the furniture a while. But when it comes to really living a pure... Now, we might say, man, that's a good church service. Right? Make noise, jump up, and kick the furniture. But listen to what he says. But when it comes to really living...
Yeah.
Amen? The real life. When it comes to really living, and that life is pure and holy and unadulterated, sanctified life, they're as far away as the night is from the day. That's right. He says, what we need today is an old-fashioned dying out, brother, where they'll go back to the altar and get over it and go back to the altar again and go back to the altar, go over there and stay till you're dead. Then a dead man knows nothing about the world. Hallelujah. Don't want to get started on that again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is it all right if I just read one more tonight? Amen. This is from Elisha the prophet. He says, if they lay my hands on the sick. Now that don't sound right, does it? If these signs shall follow them that believe, if they lay my hands on the sick, they shall recover? It doesn't sound right, does it? If they lay their hands on the sick. For I will be with them and in them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Why? Because they're the carriers of life.
Amen.
Amen? God in Elijah, he knowed them visions. He had was God. He knowed that inspiration in his heart was God. God dwelled in him, so he had a revelation. He goes over, stretched the little boys out and lays his hands on his hands. So he's talking about that little boy that died. Right? He lays on his body on him. He lays his hands on his hands, his nose on his nose, his forehead against his. Lays there just a minute, got up and said, "Lord, I don't know." And laid his hands down and the little boy got warm. And he said, well, he got up, walked back and forth again. I don't know what to do. And after a while, the revelation said. It was hearing. Amen. He was hearing from the revelation. Do the same thing again. So he goes and he lays his face against the little boy's face and his lips against the little boy's lips. And everybody's thinking, what in the world is he doing? Now, they weren't because there wasn't a whole bunch of people there. But as you're reading it, you're thinking, why? Why does he have to do that, right? Come on, admit it. That's what I thought when I read it. Why? Why does he have to put his nose on his nose and his lips on his... What's the deal? Because the revelation said so. And when he did that, the Spirit of God in that man was projected into that child. And he sneezed 7 times and come to life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, brother, God has never changed. He's just the same God tonight that he was then. The God of Elijah, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of the Lord Jesus is right here with us tonight in the form of the Holy Ghost. The only thing it is with you people and I is we don't have the faith to call him to action. That's right. He's not any different. He says if your faith will be quickened.
Right.
And will move out and have every shadow taken away from it. God will do the miracles that he did in the days gone by. He will do it here tonight among you. Do you believe that? That is the real life. That real life has moved on. It's no longer in the churches, but it's still in his church. It's still in his body tonight. Let's stand to our feet. That real life, not the shadow life now, but the real life. The real life that he's talking about that came and quickened that boy's body, brought him back from the dead. That real life is here tonight.
Amen.
Amen. That real life is found only in the bride of Christ. In the true church of the living God. Brother, sister, we are children of the kingdom tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Raise your hand if you're a child of the kingdom.
Amen.
A child of the kingdom. And he speaks to you by revelation.
Amen.
That's how he spoke to his prophet. He heard from the revelation. Amen. It wasn't an audible voice of God, but something. It was like a still small voice. It was God speaking and it just quickened to him and revealed to him what to do. And he speaks to you today by revelation. Amen. So let him speak the promises. Amen. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his Holy Spirit. Why? Because Paul said, you he hath quickened. You he hath made alive. You have the real life. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let him quicken your faith tonight. Let him build your faith.
Amen.
Amen. This is the time, brother, sister, to take a hold of the promises. This is the time to fight and battle the enemy. Amen. There's no need of it. When we get our new bodies, man, there'll be no more battle. The battle will be over and we're looking forward to that. But right now, brother, sister, we're in a battle.
Amen.
But that life that he's put in you is the overcoming power.
Yes.
Right. Amen. Come on now, do you believe that?
Yes.
This is the time to take a hold of the promises.
Yes.
Why? Because that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
That's why he put you here.
Yes.
He put you here to be an obtainer of promises.
Yes.
He put you here to be a walker in victory. Amen. Amen. Walk in victory. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Every shadow will be taken away from your promise. When God's word cuts through, when the Holy Spirit begins to reveal it to you, the shadows begin to lift away and you begin to see that's your promise. That's mine. That belongs to me. That doesn't belong to the devil. Amen. That's my land. That's my promise. He might be sitting right on top of it. That devil's sitting right on top of it, but it doesn't belong to him. That belongs to me. Amen. I know it. Why? By revelation, there's something speaking to me. I'm hearing from that other realm. It's not my, nothing in this shadow realm is telling me that. It's something else. It's faith. It's revelation. Amen. Kick him off of your promise tonight. Kick him out of your land. Amen. That belongs to you tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, how we love you tonight, Lord. We thank you, oh God, for the real and living word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the real life that you've given us, Lord. That quickening power, Lord, that someday is going to change these mortal bodies. It's going to lift us up, Lord. And it's gonna glorify us and change us, Lord. And we will live and see you as you really are. We'll see you face to face, Lord. We'll know you as you are known, Lord. And there'll be no more sickness and no more struggle and no more disease, oh God. That's what that life will do and accomplish. But yet, even now, Lord, there's power in that life. There's power in that life to overcome Satan's Eden. Lord, and I'm speaking tonight to overcomers. I'm speaking tonight to your children. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just reveal to them, Lord, that you would send that revelation of your word to their hearts, Lord, that every promise in this book tonight belongs to them. Lord, the enemy has tried to talk them out of it, but they will not be talked out of their land, out of their promise. Because, Lord, that's what you've predestinated them to do. To be a defeater of demons. Oh, to be an overcomer of Satan's Eden. Amen. To overcome everything, including this flesh. To overcome the faults of the flesh. Oh, God, I pray that you would just help your children tonight, Lord. May we walk that way. Oh, God, may we recognize, Lord, that you're here tonight. You haven't changed one bit, Lord. You're here just as much as you were walking in the shores of Galilee, Lord. And you're still a healer, Lord. You're still God tonight. Oh, bless your children, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would just be able to let go and let you have your way tonight. Just be caught up, Lord, like an eagle soaring above the old cares of the chicken yard tonight, Lord. Soaring on the Holy Spirit. The wind of the Holy Spirit. Just set your wings, little eagle, and fly above it tonight. Oh, Father, we thank you and love you so much. You are our God. You're our Savior, Lord. We want to live for you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord. Bless your people tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Oh, let's just thank him and worship him a little bit tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's thank him for the life. Amen. Let's thank him. Amen. You don't have to worry about the cares of the chicken yard tonight. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? Amen. Good times, bad times, pandemics. Politics, unrest, it's chicken yard stuff. We're not worried about it. Amen. We're flying above it tonight. Hallelujah. Created by human hands, you are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of That's just the way it is. You're the only God. You're the only God whose power none can contain. You're the only God whose name. Oh, let's praise Him tonight. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God. That's just the way it is. And you are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne, and you were God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. God whose power none can contain. You're the only God whose name, His praise will never end. It's eternal. Amen. He's worthy tonight of everything we can give. You are God. That's just the way it is. And you are God. Before time began, you were on your throne, and you were God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, doesn't matter what's going on out there, amen. He's God alone tonight. Amen. You're unchangeable. You're unchangeable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. Amen. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. Oh, you are God alone. From before time.